And we are back with Brews and Reviews. It's been a while.
Should we just say season five and just go with that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to go back in the archives. And we're not on YouTube, so YouTubers would have figured this out. But
Brews and Reviews, season five.
Season five, and we are back. We took a long hiatus. Really no reason besides we just really hate talking.
Hey, you're and getting married, man. It's a thing.
It is a thing. I am getting married, and this movie made me hate love in all the wrong ways. We're talking about Marvel's Eternals, which when this movie came out right after Endgame, right?
Yeah. What?
And I remember seeing the trailers. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just remember seeing the trailers, and I was like, this is the... Like, I have no I don't know what's going on. Like, how do you go from Endgame to this? Like, there's no connection to anything. You have a bunch of new characters. I'm like, oh, it could be good. And then the movie came out. It wasn't one I rushed to. And I just ended up never seeing it because everyone's like, it is horrible. So I figured I'd let it settle, the dust settle on it a little bit before I saw it. And I just saw it this last week. And, yeah, I should never have saw it, ever, any part of it.
See, I didn't hear that it was horrible. I heard it was different. Like, oh, like, you're used to your normal Marvel stuff. This won't be for everyone. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe Marvel's trying to be original. I didn't know that meant just bad.
Well, you saw, and this might be a stay tuned, but Ant-Man 3 you saw.
Yes.
And you're the one that texted me. You're like, how is it that Eternals is 1% lower than Quantumania?
So, we'll get into Quantumania.
This movie's bad.
As soon as you watch it, Quantumania, like kind of like all the Ant-Man movies, is just like you don't overthink it. It's just fun.
No,
I've
liked both of them.
Yeah, but like they're not movies that I'm gonna go back to and get like excited to watch. It's just like you enjoy it when you're watching it and like you've seen it now.
What are those movies called?
Popcorn flicks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and
that's what they are.
You know, the last Ant-Man was definitely on pace with the other ones. I think they did a really good job with, like, some of the newer stuff that they brought in to set up the next movies. But with Eternals, it was the exact opposite. Because, like, I had just watched Ant-Man 3, and honestly, it took me about 5 tries to actually finish this movie. I watched, like, 15 minutes of it and got bored. I watched the next 25 minutes and got bored. I watched the next 30 minutes and fell asleep. And then, like, eventually, over the course of 5 tries, finally finished the movie. And I'm like, to me, they didn't set anything up very well besides maybe one end credit scene that was better than the entire movie. And it wasn't a good end credit scene.
Which I never saw because I was just so happy. I'm gonna be frank with the audience here. I never saw the last 15 minutes of this movie. And it took me a couple tries. And I really, like, if you've listened to me, I usually am pretty optimistic. I gave Rise of Skywalker 7 the first time.
Yeah, that was a bad idea, so did I.
No, going back, that's probably the worst score I've ever given a movie.
It's but one like, of those I things that, it, on the surface, the movie wasn't horrible, but the more you let it sit, the worse it got.
Well, no, and I went in there with the lowest of expectations, because I didn't end up seeing, I usually see almost every single MCU film. Like, even, you can ask my fiance, soon to be wife, hey, there's a new, like, I told her, Ant-Man 3's out. By the way, as soon as I have a chance, I'm going to go to it. She said, okay, I love you, honey, but you're a nerd. I'm like, okay, I love you, and you like to live in reality. Whatever. Okay, we learned to love each other. But this was, like, a movie, like, I had the lowest of expectations. Like, okay, like, but the cast, like, you had Angelina Jolie, you had a couple guys, you had Jon Snow, I think it's Kit Harington,
yep,
from Game of Thrones, and... Which, by the way, why would you have him in this movie if he's not in it? Please explain to me that.
It was supposed to set up a larger part down the road, Jake.
Oh, what a larger part they set up for. So they had a decent cast, like everyone. And actually, the weird thing about this is the character, we're going to get into this, but I want to talk about that, like, is it a dinner or lunch scene when they go to Gilgamesh's?
Yeah, drinking
the character. The character back and forth really wasn't even half bad, but I didn't care about any single character. that was on screen. It was the weirdest movie, the way they set it up, the way they waited flashback, back, flashback, back. And nothing, everything they gave us in either scenario made me care nothing. Like, I did not care about a single character in this movie. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, and I think the movie never really figured out what was working well for them, because they focused so much on Cersei and kind of, like, made her, like, the focal point of the movie. Like, now she got picked by Ajax, and it's like, she never was at all compelling or fun to watch in her role. Like,
you can't say that, dude. Just what? Because she's a woman? I mean, come on, Cole.
No, she just didn't care the movie. Like, I cared more about Angelina Jolie being a crazy psycho who.
No, that was like the only interesting part. Like, wait, oh, she's got some sickness that I can't even pronounce. I'm not even gonna try to. Like the Mad Thura or whatever it was called.
Yeah. No, but so when you put all your eggs in that basket, it was just like one of those things. I'm like, she didn't handle it. And then to me, the most painful part of this whole movie was the Sprite character.
Oh, that was the Peter so Pan, the Peter painful. Pan back to Neverland character.
Okay. I'm like, okay, you can't just like say like, oh, we're going to take Sprite and make her kind of like Peter Pan and then reference Peter Pan every, like, 10 seconds. And then also make her hate Cersei and also be kind of a love interest with the main guy, so she's willing to, like, backstab somebody to get with the main guy that she's never had any conversations with in 8,000. Like, to me, that thing was painful, the dialogue that they had, where, like, she's acting, like, all emotional and betrayed towards the end, like, at Cersei. I'm like, this is not doing it for me. Like, some of this movie works and some of it doesn't. This is, like, anything to do with Sprite, I'm 100% out on.
Well, also, the name Sprite really kind of took me out of, like, I get it that the character, like, Gilgamesh, and there's characters in there. But, like, Sprite, I was like, you sound like, I forget the, like, the little annoying character in The Legend of Zelda that's just like, Sprite, hey, hey. Like, they're like, Sprite, I'm like, how can you guys say that with a straight face? Like, it was also on to piggyback off your point. Besides the Sprite being a bad character, like, what the biggest sin of this movie, and I didn't realize it till I looked when I was going to hit play on Disney Plus, I looked at the runtime. Over 2.5 hours. It's a long movie, and they give us nothing. I can forgive a long movie. Like, hey, there's a bunch of new characters. You got to build them up, obviously. These are all brand new. And it was like, this is a waste of, like, this is an absolute waste of your time. You should not watch this movie. There's nothing, I'm trying to think of anything good, but even the, like, right away, what were the bad guys of the, they weren't variants. Like, I'm thinking of actually good Marvel properties when I'm, like, the Deviants? Deviants. Like, they're like, the Deviants, we came here thousands of years ago because some guy with six eyes said, hey, we gotta come here. And it's just, it's completely weird. Here's my theory, though, on why it got as high as of a score on Rotten Tomatoes as 47%. After Endgame, people went to go see this movie, and they're like, yeah, it's different, it's new, but, you know, we just got off to Endgame. We can't compare it to that, an amazing movie. So I think it really, like, people were like, oh, maybe we're being too hard. Like, they're afraid of being too harsh on it because it wasn't Endgame. That's my theory. Because there's no reason, this movie should be at, like, a 11% at Rotten Tomatoes, because there's always those idiots that are like, yeah, no, there's some good stuff. They had cool costumes, which is about the only thing I could say for it. Like, that's the only reason, because this movie is slow, completely befuddled. Like, it's completely messed up as far as, like, the storytelling. The characters are horrible. This movie you should never see if you're a Marvel fan. This is horrible.
Okay, let's play a game. So I will tell you a character, or I try to tell you.
Can you say it like the guy from Saw?
Let's play a game.
Okay, we'll do it better, but okay. Go on. So, go on.
Quick 1 out of 10 rating on how good the character was in this movie. So, ready?
They're all going to get like 3s or less.
Just quick, no thinking about this. So, Cersei.
2.
Sprite.
1.
Gilgamesh.
I'll give him a 3.
Marvel Superman.
Zero. Because that's exactly what he is. Dude, at least change the color of his eye beams. Are you kidding me?
I forget his name, the black guy, the Family Guy.
One. Because you can't even remember his name. He doesn't deserve more than that.
No, he was actually one of the better characters.
Explain to me how.
They go to his house with his family, and he was actually, like, mildly interesting.
He's mildly interesting because everyone else is dog shit.
Yes, okay. Jon Snow.
Zero. No reason for this guy to be in here.
Angelina Jolie.
I'll give her a three because what they were doing with her, like, when they were starting to fill that in, it was interesting, but they went nowhere with it, so.
The Deviants as a whole.
One.
Dude, I still don't even understand, like, why there had to be Deviants. I know the Eternal being explained it to her. Ajax.
One. You can't call another character Ajax when you got Ajax from Deadpool, okay? Like, you can't do that.
That's all the characters I can remember off the top of my head.
But, which actually is way more impressive because I would remember less if I would have played the same game with you.
The Indian guy.
Oh, he was definitely the best. I'll actually give him a four because he actually had some funny one-liners and he tried the best with what he got. But again, what he got was garbage. Like, you can only do so much with trash. You can, like, when I used to live in Guatemala, they used to say, you can only clean a dirt floor so much. Like, and that's exactly what he had to deal with. I mean, this is just trash.
And the weird thing about this is, on paper, if you wrote everything out, it doesn't sound that bad. So if you said, okay, we're going to have, like, some... like characters that are fighting against something that's actually not the enemy. The enemy is actually like the Eternal. They don't know why they've been there. But like in actuality, there's so many plot holes that I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. Like just go by the general basis of we need all these human like beings to sit here and just chill for thousands of years so that enough of the population grows so that the Eternal can harvest their energy. It's like, they had a mind control dude. He could have just mind controlled everybody, which he said he could do. Breed like bunnies. They would have had enough people on Earth. They could have been like a 20-year thing. Like, why'd you have to wait 10,000 years when you could have done it in 10 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of those plot holes just hanging around. Because, again, they try... Again, what makes it worse is they try to explain it because they're like, during the lunchroom scene where they're like, oh, who's going to be the next leader of the Avengers because Captain America and Tony Stark is dead. And he's like, and like that one Marvel Superman, quote unquote, was like, oh, maybe I could. It's like, no, you can't because you guys have been sitting here forever and we're trying to pretend there's a whole new threat and like the world doesn't know about it and it doesn't relate to pretty much anything that's been going on with anything in the MCU up until this point. Like, this movie makes no sense. How it got made is beyond me.
This is, like, what they did with the Deviants kind of reminded me of what Captain Marvel did.
Which is also horrible.
That was one of the parts that I liked about Captain Marvel is I kind of gave you, like, the beginning of, like, an 80s movie. Like...
Yeah, the genre. It
reminded me of that. And then they're like, oh, actually, that like they're the good guys in the end. I'm like, okay, I don't mind that you did that. This movie, I feel like, kind of tried to do that, and it just utterly failed the execution of it.
Well, the how they dumped the exposition on you is what really made me upset. Because who was Sam? Was it Ajax? Was the Prime?
Yeah.
The Prime Eternal? And she dies. Spoiler, early on, like you see her for a little bit and then maybe in some flashback, and then they find her dead. And then Cersei comes into the picture, and then what's the person again? What's his name? The Six-Eyed?
Oh, I don't know.
Which I was really hoping for Galactus. I did not get him. But, like, he just dumps everything. He's like, here's what you'd be doing. We've actually been erasing your minds this whole time. And he goes on forever. I'm like, dude, try to sell her. Like, you're a terrible salesman. You're, like, basically like, I've been messing with you forever. Yeah, I hope you go along with my plan.
Why would you erase her memories?
Well, then why would you tell her?
Yeah. Like, what's the point of erasing somebody's memory if you tell
her? It wasn't that he erased his memory. Instead of trying to tell her, like, no, this is what we're doing, and, like, try to, like, lure her into it, he just straight up says, yeah, I've been effing with you since, like, I made you, and I made you better than the Deviants, and by the way, I'm giving you every reason to just go, like, to go against me. And so the next thing she does after this, like, little Skype call, she goes back, like, so we gotta stop this guy. Like, this was horrible. This guy's been around for God knows how long. But then he just immediately tells her, like, oh, you're the new Prime. I'm gonna make you the Prime. And by the way, I have messed up your entire life. I hope you don't hate me for it. #love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I just let you chill on this world for no reason for thousands of years making buddies, and now I'm gonna kill them all in front of you. It's like,
and for as big as this movie, like, this movie tried to make the threat seem, like, huge, right? Like, Earth is going to die. Some type of godlike being that is just a seed that's waiting to be born until apparently there's enough people to sacrifice. #Aztecs. But it's, like, it's the weird, like, nothing of it is endearing. It doesn't make sense. And on top of that, maybe they could get away with this. Like, everyone just kind of bought into the insanity. But it's boring. It is very boring. How many times did you fall asleep during this? Because it took me 3 days to get through what I got through. Like, 3 separate days.
Yeah. No, like I said, it took me 5 tries to get through it. But also, did you make it? So you didn't make it to the very end. So at the very end, the Eternal, the six-eyed thing,
yep,
comes and takes Cersei and somebody else and was like, oh, shit, Icarus, that was his name.
Oh, yeah, how do we forget Icarus? One of the ones we should have known, oh, Dicarus himself.
Okay, don't give me, I'll come back to that. But anyway.
Icarus is Marvel Superman.
Yes, but they take Cersei and, like, you killed an Eternal. We'll have to see if Earth is worth it. We will pass judgments at a later date.
Like, you know what the sad thing is? I don't think you're telling me that. I think you're telling me better than if I would have waited to the very end.
So it was just like one of those things. I'm like, okay, so they, you know, they stopped the Eternal from happening, like, yada, yada, yada. And then you just, like, do a cutscene where, like, she's, like, talking with Jon Snow, like, oh, yada, yada. And he's like, oh, I
have... Oh, Jon Snow comes back. Oh,
yeah, he's like, I have something to tell you about my family. And then the Eternal Being just, like, up and, like, zaps her into the sky. And I'm like, nope, that.
So, wait, so why did she get zapped by the Eternal into the sky?
So that he can now look at her mind to pass judgment on the humans to see if they were worth killing an Eternal for.
Wow, that makes sense.
Also, Icarus flying into the sun. Don't get me started. Like, it's...
I mean, it's kind of hilarious.
No, it's not. So, right away in the movie, they're like, Icarus, isn't he the one that flew too close to the sun? No, that's just a story that Sprite made up. End of movie. Flies into the sun. Like, you don't see the irony and stupidity of this?
They were trying to be funny about that.
No, they weren't. That's the point. They missed it.
No, but it was supposed to be like, hey, Icarus actually flew into the sun. Okay. But no, the best part, you know, Cena, her name isn't Athena, but Cena is apparently Athena, but they couldn't just call her Athena. But you're okay with calling him Icarus, you're okay with calling, you know, the lemon lime soda Sprite, which, you know, that's where they got it from. Like, it is just, this movie, I don't understand how it's on 47% of Rotten Tomatoes, because I want to know who sat through this and was intrigued. Like, I really want to go every person that gave it a fresh rating and just be like, can you please explain to me what you saw in this movie? Because I literally got nothing. I went into it with the lowest of expectations.
Yeah. The cutscene was a little interesting where you had the black sword and Jon Snow was like, ooh, I'm going to use the black sword to get Cersei back. But the Eternals as a whole, like, it would have been almost better if they all would have flown into the sun. Or, like, they all needed to kill themselves in order to stop the Eternal from being there. Because, like, I have no... Like, I don't care. I would never watch Eternals 2 other than to maybe make a podcast on it. Like, I don't care about it. None of the characters have any redeeming qualities going forwards. Where if this was just, like, Star Wars... what was the...
Why is it Book of Boba Fett?
No, the movie. Oh. The Rogue One. Like, all the characters are going to die, but we're just going to, like, set something else up. That would have been fine.
Yeah, but even if that happened, I mean, I just did not care. Like, the interesting thing, it's interesting you brought up Rogue One, because I thought that movie was going to be terrible. I'm like, all right, this is just them trying to get money. And that was a very engaging movie, and it was cool that all of them ended up dying. Not cool that people died, but it was like, cool. Hey. It's like what they were fighting for and what we knew was going to happen. Like, they all sacrificed themselves, and that's cool. This one, I don't care. Like, the only person that should have flown into the sun was the director before he made this movie. Like, I hate to say it like that, but this is just, like, I don't know who wrote it and why Disney was like, yes, this is the movie after Endgame that we, after we have this, like, amazing follow-up to years and years of development with the MCU. This is the next movie. This is what we're going to go with. It's embarrassing. Like, this is garbage.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie that when you're watching the MCU, like, if you're going to try to, like, watch them all and, like, go back over them, you just pretend this one didn't exist.
No, like, it's like this.
My kids,
like,
get older and I'm going to watch these movies with them, I'm going to be like, Eternals? No, that must be part of the DC stuff.
Yeah, which you could literally skip over this movie. Because everything I've seen, a bunch of all the other MCU, some good, some okay, some not so good. But you could literally skip over this and nothing's affected in the world. No. You could easily skip over this. And you should. You don't, like, who has 2 hours and 40 minutes? Like, I love some long movies. I don't care if the movie's long, as long as you have a reason for being that long. This movie should have been 10 minutes. Icarus flies into the sun. That's it. Ten minutes of that.
I think what made the movie, instead of just maybe not so good or maybe a little bit bad, was they did try to push storylines, but they were very poorly executed. So again, like the sprite thing, talked about that. The whole, like, Peter Pan, and so she, like, her magic power at the end is that she can make her become an adult. It's like, why did an Eternal up in the sky that wanted to kill everyone on Earth? It's like
a weird Pinocchio story.
Yeah, decide that this one of the people had to be a kid that couldn't become an adult. How does that make sense? And, like, she couldn't just do that by herself. Just be like, turn on puberty.
Power of puberty. We got to talk about the love stories in this, because if you thought Disney was bad back in the day, love at first sight, this is equally as terrible. Because, like, Cersei makes love to Icarus. Spoiler. Like, I don't know if it happened, but they're on the beach, and, like, it goes from, like, Icarus comes up to her, and he's like, I'll have you if you have me. And then he says something in his native tongue, which is supposed to be cute, which I'm sure it would be if I actually cared about the characters. He's like, I am beautiful, when he's supposed to say, you are beautiful. And that doesn't land. But then they end up making out and doing the thing. And then later, it just cuts, like, down the road. We see Sprite, and then who was, God, I know, what's his name? The funny guy.
I don't know.
I forget his actual... Okay, anyways, he comes up to her, he's like, you know, and he gives the story of Peter Pan and why Peter Pan could be in love. He's like, I can see that you love Icarus. And I'm sitting there like, wait, what? Wait, you can see this? Where's the deleted scene I didn't see? Because I never got any of this. It's like, you can't love him, though, because you're a child, even though you're thousands of years old.
You better watch who you call a child, because that makes you a pedophile.
So she should have gone undercover for, like, to catch a predator. Thousands of years old. I was like, yeah, it's technically not that, Joy, but we're going to make you think that. Like, this, oh my gosh, the love stories in this is, like, there's nothing, there's no connection to anyone with any love story they try to write. This is absolutely the worst love story writing I've seen in a while.
Okay, Jake, quick 2-minute fix. How do you fix this movie?
You blow it up and pretend it never existed.
No, you have to fix it. What's the best you can make it?
I think what they should have done is stay in the past way longer and develop the characters, their relationship with each other, and not go back and forth. Because sometimes that works. I felt like with all these new characters, none of this worked. When they go front, like you're putting us in the present time, in the back, the present, in the back. I think they should have stayed with what their mission was. I think you should have added more allure to what was going on and not been like, hey, we're going to, like, you're a like Cersei's, like, working in the school. She's a professor now. And then, hey, we're going to jump back to show you why you should care. I think they should have started there and probably done the first hour of the movie there.
And I think
they should really have established.
Totally gotten rid of the divergence or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Like, they served no purpose in the movie. Like, you could have just more focused on your own characters. And, like, maybe, yeah, maybe they find out that they are divergents. Like, oh, wow, we're actually just, like, these robots put on, like, made to be here. And, like,
what does that mean? They tell you that when Aminius, or whatever hell his name is, the god, tells Cersei, like, all that exposition, it doesn't land. But if you would establish these characters and kind of be like, oh, maybe the god that we're doing this mission for doesn't matter, and actually establish those characters rather than keep jumping us back to Front Street, like Icarus and Cersei, grow that relationship. So when we see him later in the future, it actually like, oh, there's some tension here. Because when Icarus shows up like pretty early on in the movie in the future, it's like oh, that's the old, like Jon Snow's like, oh, that's the guy? But it's like, we know nothing about this guy.
Yeah.
Like, we don't. So now you're trying to establish a love story, which is also equally terrible. Like, this is the worst love story since Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen in Star Wars. When people complain about that, no. That is Shakespeare loving compared to what we get here.
Agreed.
So you should establish the characters. Like, the first, if you're going to do a two-and-a-half-hour long movie, do the first hour in where they're at in their mission, kind of like, go through time a little bit with them, which I could be interesting, but also build the characters and relationships all right there, because they're all right there, rather than going back and forth, because we don't know anything about these guys.
Yeah. No, I think they definitely missed out on their chance to capitalize, because and I think we talked about it with Thor, Love and Thunder, like, the premise of that movie was so cool, where, like, you're kind of pissed off at God, so you're actually killing God. Like, this is, like, a very, like, psychoanalytic type of way to make a movie. Like, I love the concept of that. Where I'm like, this movie, you could have had, like, you know, kind of a similar, like, hey, like, we're put on this earth, and it's, like, not for, like, we don't agree with the purpose, so we're going to do what we want. Like, you could have built that up with the characters in the past, like, them trying to complete their mission, realizing, like, it's, like, not what they want to do, but instead, it's, like, they completed their mission and just hung out on Earth doing nothing for 6,000 years. Where it's like, wait, seriously, what did you think your mission was? They're like, oh, we needed to make sure that the
like a crisis of faith scenario.
Yeah. Whereas, like, instead it's like, no, we were just waiting for the deviants to maybe come back, even though we thought we beat them. I'm like, if you thought you completed your mission, why wouldn't you leave?
Yeah, and he also, like, Samuel Harris, the Prime Eternal, was like, you know what, like, after that big scene where they all kind of break up a little bit before they break up, they're like, no, go out and come back and tell me what you've learned. They go out for thousands of years, but never went back and said, hey, I learned some stuff. Like, sometimes humanity's pretty cool. Like, there's none of that. Like, it's all about, like, I don't know who designed or wrote this, but I don't know how to fix this because the premise isn't, compared to what the MCU started, because I just watched Iron Man recently, how small it started and what it became. But the characters mattered. Like, the reason why Avengers worked in 2012 is because we already had their origin stories. Like, Captain America, like, and Iron Man, like, fighting, like, and all the characters playing off each other worked because we knew them. Like, we've seen them already, and we get what they're about. This was like, hey, we're going to do Avengers with Eternals, but we know nothing about this. There's a bunch of new characters, and we're just going to tell you it in the worst way possible with no chemistry.
What I really hate when movies do a lot of exposition to try to tie up their themes. It's like, if you didn't show it to me in the movie, I don't really want you to say that it happened during the movie. Like, oh, I've grown so much from this. I didn't see that. Or like, oh, like, again, anything Sprite did, I'm
like,
I didn't
see. It's a classic thing, like, as you know. The as you know isms. Like, as you know, well, no, we don't, because you're saying this because the audience doesn't know, and that's the only reason why you're saying this is a character.
Exactly. No, I'm
not saying it doesn't ever work, but it almost never works because, like, you should have told us already or shown us.
No, what was the Hugh Jackman movie with the singing that everybody loves so much? Greatest Showman.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, that was, like, my family loved that movie. And they're like, it's so good. I'm like, that was one of my biggest beefs with that movie is, like, the characters, like, at the end are like, oh, wow, I've grown so much from this. I'm like, I didn't see any of that. Like, you have, like, all these, like, you have these characters that, like, don't, like, they're just kind of going down their path. It's, like, very straightforward. And they'll be like, you've changed my life in ways that you could never imagine. I'm like, when did that happen? Like, at what point did you go from pouty little B to your whole life has changed? And I'm like, this movie reminded me of that, where it's like, when they do their exposition, it's like, oh, you know, I've hated you forever. I'm like, I didn't get any vibes that Sprite hated Cersei other than to just, like, say some lackluster thing at the end of the movie when she tried to stab her.
This even movie that, is probably, this is one of the
most, you know how anticlimactic that is when the character literally stabs you and then you just, like,
and you don't really remember it and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, she did try to do that.
She just takes the knife out and continues on.
Yeah, there was no, this movie needed chemistry, it needed cohesion, it had none of that. It was doomed to fail. I mean, this movie, again, they all have their different powers, but you have literally the guy that can fly but also shoot laser beams. Maybe split those powers up. Because he has red laser beams and he's flying in a blue suit. What is that going to make us think of?
No, he has yellow laser beams. Yellow laser beams.
Oh my gosh, now we're splitting hairs here, okay? You need yellow to make orange, okay?
He flew into the sun.
Classic Icarus. Classic Icarus. Yeah, I thought he was supposed to fly close to the sun, but not into the sun. That's a new one. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else you want to touch on this? Because, to be honest, I can't remember it. I guess, did anything really piss me off about this film? Besides the character development, which I've already gone into.
Character development. The overall pointlessness of it, even like,
well, again, I mean, how is this your thing after Endgame? Like, that's the weirdest thing. Like, after you actually were able, like, if you would have told me back in Iron Man, like, if someone could come from the future, like, do a little flashback with me, because I never saw Iron Man theaters. I was in high school. I was like, whatever. And you said, dude, they're gonna do this. They're gonna bring Guardians of the Galaxy. There's gonna be a raccoon, and they tell me every single property, and they're gonna be successful. I'd be like, you are full of shit, dude. No way this works, but it did. And somehow, Endgame was an absolutely satisfying conclusion. You can argue if it's one of the best films in it, but it was Infinity War and Endgame, which they were building up to from the start, is absolutely satisfying. And then after all of that, you're just like, we're gonna give you this. This nothing film. Enjoy. Like, I can't believe that this is what happened after Endgame.
Well, and I wish it would have just had a little bit more fun with it. Like,
yeah, they go so crazy, and like the characters are actually having fun. No one looks like they're having that much fun doing this movie.
No, they took themselves way too seriously. Where it's like, if you like, not that they haven't kind of went that route a little bit already, but if you kind of like A-team this, and like the Eternals were like the A-team of the MCU.
I could totally get on board with that. Well, they have like a bunch of quippy one-liners, and everyone looks like they're having a blast. The only person that looks like it was, I'm so mad I can't remember his name because he actually is one of the only characters worth memory. But he looks like he's having a ton of fun. And he's the only one, though. No one else is having fun in this film.
Well, and two, like, there are so many things, not to go back to the stupid character arcs, but the mind
control... What, the stupid character arcs in here?
The mind control guy gets, like, all pissed off and leaves. And then just comes back later on in the movie and, like, nothing ever happened. Like, they're like, oh, well, now we have to fight Deviant, so it's all fine. It's like, wait. Like, that was, like, this whole, like, they kind of did, like, the... in Doctor Strange, when the guy leaves, like, oh, the bill always comes due. I'm like, oh, you're trying to, like, pull something like that? And then he just comes back later and he's like, no, it's fine. I just had not to mind control everybody. I'm like, oh, good.
No, like, I had some, like, was Doctor, like, thinking of this because it's so recent when I saw them. Because I actually did watch Doctor Strange 2, and I do have some gripes with it, but I had some good stuff. Usually almost, even Thor the Dark World and Thor Love and Thunder, some of the films in the MCU that I'm like, yeah, they could have been better. I can find some good stuff. Like, I can find, like, no, this scene was good. No, this character, they did all right here. There's, like, I don't remember a single thing that would be like, no, you should watch it. Like, this one scene, you should watch this one scene in here because it's worth it. There's nothing. There's nothing like that in here. It's completely void of any meaning.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. Like, I struggle with this movie.
You did, and I did too, and I thought, you told me, you're like, I'm like, hey, we should do Eternals, which, by the way, Wakanda, stay tuned, Wakanda Forever was on Disney Plus, and Cole made it apparent, we should have watched that. I mean, there's no way, like, Wakanda Forever might be top 10 MCU film after watching it, because after I watched this, I'm like, dude, I just want some joy in my life with the MCU.
And that may be why I like the new Ant-Man so much more, is because I had just watched this, where I'm like, I probably gave that like a couple points bump just because it wasn't Eternals.
Well, I've heard good and bad. Like, again, that's what most, even the bad MCU films have been like. Like, let's take a look at the show Loki. Was I a huge fan of it? No. Are there great scenes in there, though, in some episodes? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You know, speaking of Loki, you know how I said I wish it was more like Schrodinger's cat, and it bothered me that it wasn't.
Yes,
we had this whole thing.
Go
they back literally to talk about Schrodinger's cat and Ant-Man, the new Ant-Man. They have this short little scene where it's a probability storm where all the different Ant-Mans do all the different things. I'm like,
don't ruin
this.
My
gosh,
it
could have been Loki.
Yeah, no, like, Loki still had its good moments.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is the only MCU film that I can, like, I can say, because there's still, like, Thor, I think still Thor 2 The Dark World up until this point was the worst MCU film, where as far as I, like, because I went back and finally watched it a year later, I saw it once in the theaters, I hated it, and I was like, oh, here goes the MCU, it's going to go downhill. I was gratefully, I am wrong about what happened there. This is the first film where I'm like, no, there's no reason to go back to this, I will never watch this again. There is no meaning behind it. I do not care. And, like, I hope I just, at some point, can just live a long enough life before I forget this ever existed.
Yeah.
So how are you going to rate it, though, Cole? I think we've exhausted everything else here. We didn't even, no, the funny thing is that usually we go into spoilers by accident about this. I don't think we have. We have not gone into any spoilers in this film.
There isn't a spoiler to this film. You can't spoil this film.
Spoiler, it sucks. That's the spoiler. There you go.
I feel bad because maybe this movie isn't as bad as I'm thinking. I should probably bump it up a couple points.
No. I'm giving it the rating it definitely deserves.
I'll bump it up one. I'll go with...
So it's a 2?
I'll go with a 3. I'll say a 3 out of 10.
Oh my gosh. No, it's a 1 out of 10. This is literally the definition. It's forgettable. No redeeming qualities.
I was going to say, too, well, the thing about it is, This movie didn't piss me off so much. Like, there's some movies that actually really annoy me. This movie bored me, and we were going to do a podcast on it, so I had to watch it. Otherwise, it would just be a movie that, like, you just brush off and never finish. But it's, like, it was just boring more than anything. So, like, I couldn't give it a one where, like, I wasn't just, like, angry watching it.
I was actually angry a lot of the times. Okay. And I was sitting, you know, I was out of town. I was away from my family. It wasn't like something was distracting me. I could literally focus on this movie, and I didn't want to focus on it, and I was mad I picked it for this
I cringed, like, visibly cringed at a couple parts, but...
No, you could say, like, even some of the worst movies that, like, I have seen, there's usually, like, it's so bad shit that it's almost like, oh, well, you know, they had some entertaining spots. Like, the Transformers movies are a perfect example of the later ones, minus Age of Extinction. Are they good movies? No. But they gave me some memorable moments. The fact that this movie gave no memorable moments to the point where it's like, I'm mad I watched it, it gets 1 out of 10. And I have never gone there, I don't think, in this entire podcast.
Yeah.
On any movie we've seen. Like, this movie makes me mad it exists because it shouldn't have existed. It was such a waste of an opportunity. And I don't think maybe there was even that big of an opportunity. It's like, you should have gave me something, some memorable scene, something. You gave me nothing. So because you gave me nothing, not even something that was just like, man, that was so crazy that, like, no, I'm glad I watched at least a climax. No. 1 out of 10, this movie is trash.
You're saying the movie about a guy who flew too close to the sun, that was a made-up story that then flew into the sun, is not the best movie you've ever seen.
No, which is interesting because I actually was obsessed with Greek mythology when I was, like, younger. And I know the story of Icarus. Yeah. And Icarus' story is, like, I'd rather read that in Greek and try to decipher it. And I think that'd be more interesting than watching The Eternals again.
Man. Yeah, I mean, we definitely poo-pooed on this movie, but it deserved it.
Which is, again, I'm usually not the guy to poo-poo on a movie, but this is just, I can't think of one redeeming scene or point that I saw. Like, I can't give it more than a one because it gave me a one. It gave me nothing to work with.
Yeah.
Please don't see this movie. Next up, I hope, will be Last of Us and Wakanda Forever. We will watch Wakanda Forever. Dude, and I guarantee you, I'm going to love that movie compared to this.
And Last of Us already, I can tell you, I'm going to give that very glowing reviews. I'm quite enthralled. But
well, we got a couple more episodes, so. I know.
Okay.
So, Bruising Reviews signing off. Don't see Eternals. If you ever take.